Shalom, Chaverim. Baruch haba lechol makshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi, Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, it is a very ancient belief that numbers have meaning quite apart from their employment to denote quantity. Within my limited opportunities, I am inclined to the belief that there really is a symbolic or mystic meaning attachable to certain numbers, particularly biblical numbers. One of these days, I may have more to say upon the subject. But just for the moment, let us take a side glance at that figure 40. As an actual word, and standing alone in its numerical connotation, the cardinal numeral 40 first appears in our Hebrew scriptures at Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, where, of the great deluge, we read God's declaration, "For 7 days hence I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will extirpate every living substance that I have made from off the face of the earth." This, then, is our biblical introduction to the numeral 40. And if its employment in the scripture highlights be examined, it appears to be a number associated with a period of waiting or testing preparatory to the inauguration of an event or epoch. Because I feel you will be reluctant to let me leave so soon a group of ideas so fascinating, I will add that Moses was in the Mount of Revelation 40 days and 40 nights. Moreover, Jewish tradition divides his life into 3 epoch-producing periods of 40 years. He died at age 120. The giant Goliath defied Israel 40 days. The New Testament, an essentially Jewish book, carries the same suggestiveness in its pages. The Messiah, the servant of the Eternal, is associated with the number 40 in the temptation. It is particularly interesting to note that the Greek word euthios, denoting speed or celerity, appears exactly 40 times in the Gospel of Mark, which is essentially the Gospel of the Servant. It is also arresting to note that the cardinal numeral 40, so far as my apparatus and time grant me accuracy, it appears exactly 40 times in the book of Moses, the other great servant of the Eternal. Of course, as I have been speaking, many of you will have remarked mentally the period of 40 years during which Israel waited in the wilderness after leaving Egypt and prior to entering Canaan. If my conjecture is correct, then your thoughts are a fitting carpet spread out before us all, and upon which we can all tread together without getting our feet soiled by the dust of digression. Suppose we stand with Joshua across the Jordan at Gilgal on the 14th day of that first month. If we do, the very date, if not the activity, will stab our minds awake. It is Passover, and we are at Gilgal in the Promised Land, after 40 years. The waiting, testing period is over. 40 years of fruitlessness, futility, frustration. 40 years to reach a destination and a destiny that should have occupied only 11 days. But now it is Passover. Our minds seize the years, and harnessing 40 of them to the chariot of our imaginations, we speed back to the night in Egypt when the Paschal Lamb was slain and the blood applied in the form of a cross upon the doorposts and lintels of the houses where we waited for the divine deliverance. That was 40 years away from Gilgal. And now it is Passover in the Promised Land. As it was in Egypt, so here, too, at Gilgal, there was terror in the hearts of Israel's enemies. Just within view, across the way, stands Jericho, and Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. Words are colorful and musical, but I would need them to be both color and music to convey to you something of the circumstances at Gilgal. The second collective circumcision had just been performed, for of course no person uncircumcised could eat Passover. All in Gilgal who were 38 years old and upwards had of course been circumcised, and these must have numbered about 280,000. But those who had been under 20 years of age at the time the divine sentence was imposed at Kadesh must have numbered about 720,000. Those already circumcised would have been adequate to prepare the paschal lambs and, if necessary, to defend the camp at Gilgal. How thrilling and awe-inspiring must have been both the activity and the account of it. 40 years ago to the very day, the first Passover had been observed in Egypt on the eve of the Exodus. Beyond doubt, the great deliverance and the sacrificial nature of the first Passover would need explaining and expounding, for it had been 38 years since Israel had enjoyed the privilege of this sacred festival. Surely it would not have been observed by the nation in an uncircumcised condition. This, then, was probably the third national Passover, the first having been celebrated in the wilderness, of Sinai in the first month of the second year following the coming out of Egypt. The whole nation of Israel as a national entity is thus reminded that they were delivered from bondage in Egypt by virtue of the divinely ordained sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb. They are also reminded that they stand in the Promised Land by virtue of that same sacrificial blood. I began this message by a reference to the significance of biblical numbers. In past messages I have already spoken on the subject of the significance of seven, seven being the number denoting completion or spiritual perfection. Allow me to mention one other number, the number eight. Eight is the number of a new beginning. This is so not only in biblical signification, but also in the physical universe. If occasion demands, I might devote a whole message to this frankly astounding phenomenon. In the meantime, just please take my word for it. Now, dear friends, I feel I would be less than your friend, and certainly less than a faithful expositor, if I failed to reveal to you a most remarkable feature of biblical record involving those figures, 40, the number of waiting, of testing, 7, the number of completion or spiritual perfection, and 8, the number of a new beginning. You will recall that the Passover at Gilgal was the third biblically recorded Passover. Obviously, this third recorded Passover was the second anniversary of the original one held in Egypt. Now, what do you make of the interesting fact that Scripture records just 7 anniversary celebrations of historic importance? Naturally, you will wish me to itemize them for you, hence I must do so. Here they are. Remember, I am speaking of recorded anniversary celebrations. The first in the wilderness of Sinai, the second at Gilgal, the third by Solomon, the fourth by Hezekiah at the time when he restored the national worship, the fifth under King Josiah in the 18th year of his reign, the sixth under Ezra after the return from Babylon, and the 7th biblically recorded Passover celebration? Where is that found to seal the thought of completion, of spiritual perfection? My friends, it is found in a Jewish book, which is, I am convinced, as much an integral part of our Jewish heritage and revelation as any other of our sacred scriptures. The seventh celebration is found in the New Testament, celebrated with and by one who claimed to be the Messiah of Israel, and who was introduced in Jerusalem to the Jewish people by Jewish announcers as the Lamb of God, a title which was not repudiated by the one to whom it was referred. Already, you will have added to these seven recorded anniversaries the original Passover in Egypt to make a total of eight. And as I said, eight is the number of a new beginning. This same New Testament declares that if anyone, Jew or Gentile, becomes identified with Messiah through faith in the atoning efficacy of his blood shed for the sins of humanity, that believer, whether Jew or Gentile, becomes a new creature. You will recall that the blood of the Paschal Lamb in Egypt was applied in such a manner that the physical actions described a cross. Well, we have observed the association of seven and eight in relation to the Paschal Lamb and its sacrifice. Now, what of the 40? Well, it was just 40 years after the sacrifice of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, that the Eternal, blessed be He, permitted the destruction of the temple in the year 70 of the common era, thus sweeping away the sacrificial shadows. Was it because the substance had come and the time of waiting, of testing, was over? Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'nav elecha, V'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.